This is an interview between Alyssa Nielsen and Beryl Tanner on November 25th, 2005, taking place in Victoria. So I'll just start by asking a few questions. So, Beryl, where and when were you born?
I was born in Isleworth, Middlesex, which is just south of London. And when I was 3, we moved. It was still Isleworth that we lived in until 1933. My sister was expected, and my parents were able to buy a brand new house in Hounslow, Middlesex.
And, what year was that you were born?
I was born 1927.
Okay, so how old were you then when World War II broke out?
I was 12.
12 years old. So could you tell me a little bit about your experience living in war?
Well, one of the first things that everybody that had a garden had to do was put in what was known as a Quonset hut at the bottom of the garden for when the sirens went up, so that you had a shelter. And my father managed to build sort of, well, they, I guess you call them bunks in a way. But it was only big enough to have a bunk for my sister and myself. My parents and my grandmother, who lived with us, they had to sit in chairs. Well, this only lasted for a short time, because during the winter, that was just horrible. So we decided that my sister and myself were to sleep under the dining room table, and my grandmother, mother, and father slept on the floor in the dining room with their feet to the fireplace. And that is more or less how things were for quite a few years.
Mm. So what was your everyday life like during the war? What kind of food did you eat? What was transportation like?
Well, food-wise, we were very lucky, because my father raised chickens. He rented an acre of land, and we had chickens, and we had rabbits. And he grew all of our vegetables. So we, food-wise, we didn't. Shall I say we were one of the luckier families, because my father did this. Transportation, no problem, because buses and the trolley buses all ran up and down the high street. So, and you have bicycles. I rode my bike to school.
Mm. And how late did you go to school until? How old were you when you finished school?
I was 16.
16? Oh, okay. And then when you were 16, did you start working?
Yes, I got a job in a factory in Hammersmith. And at the interview, it was, did I know my alphabet? And I said, yes. Fine. You can start, and would you file all of those papers? And they were packed. Oh, I don't think they had had any filing done for practically a year. Well, that kept me busy. And then I had the opportunity to get a job at the local hospital, and which was much closer to home, and so I was able to ride my bike. And that was in the office where you looked after the patient's information, their papers. And then I was given the opportunity to work in what was known as the outpatients clinic. And this was where when people came in to have x-rays done, a clinic in those days is quite different to a clinic now. But people that had certain problems, there would be certain days that they would come when you'd have to take their name and have their papers and so that the doctor could refer back. And I was also, this was the one time I was taught how to do electrocardiographs. You have to be a technician now, but I was taught by the doctor. When he found out I was getting married, he called me a stupid bitch. He said, I have plans for you.
This was the doctor that said this? Wow. Wow.
He was very upset. Because he was not only teaching me how to do that, he was teaching me how to do clinical photography, which was leading up to taking pictures of cancer.
So how, if you hadn't got married, do you think that you would have pursued this line of as a career?
Oh, I'm sure I would have done. Because, well, there was an opportunity.
Yeah, that would have led for a very different life.
Oh, yes.
Was that common during that time period for women to begin careers in something?
Yes. Yeah, because with the war, that changed. I mean, the females had to go work in factories, assembly lines. Well, it was the females were looking after things in the background because the men had gone to war. I mean, sure, there was a lot of females went to war too, but it was the females that had to keep the home fires burning.
So how would that have differed from, say, your mother's generation? Just a generation earlier, would they have been working outside of the home at all?
No.
So it was more this opportunity, the war that brought up this opportunity or responsibility?
Yeah. Oh, definitely. Yeah.
Very interesting. So how, we just talked about bombing a little bit, and how did bombing affect your everyday life?
Well, in 1940, we were bombed out, and we had to move out of our house for, I guess it was about 9 months, because they had to repair some of the inside walls, because they weren't stable. And after that, we moved back in, but of course, there was no windows. Everything was covered up with black paper, until eventually they were able to put windows in, but everything was blacked out. No lights showing whatsoever.
And how did this experience affect you, like, internally? Just living so close to death, so close to bombers coming by, did that affect your attitude towards life in any way?
No, I don't think so. I think you... I think you carried on because there wasn't anything you could do about it. The war was on, and you had to make the most of it. I was the one that did most of the shopping because my mother was not well enough to stand in queues to line up to get certain things. And, of course, there was always a shortage, especially for washing machine. Well, it wasn't washing machine. We had... you put the clothes in and the water boiled, you lit the gas underneath and then of course they went through the ringer but to get the my mother liked a Persil, and well, if I would hear that a certain store had some, well, away I go on my bike and make sure I have the coupon book with me and get her a pack. So it, you know,
just maybe became part of your reality.
I think that was it. You okay? Don't feel sorry for yourself. The war's on. There's not much you can do about it.
That makes sense. So, could you tell me about the experience of meeting your future husband?
Well, this happened. The war had finished, and my parents always. We went on holiday, and because my mother figured that she deserved 2 weeks, that she didn't have to do any cooking, and we went down to a place called Boscombe, which was like a boarding house where you had your meals. And in the hotel across from where we were staying was taken over by the Canadians that were being repatriated. And I got to meet a couple of the boys, and one of them played the piano, and of course it was, well, come and, why don't you come and have a drink? And of course I love to sing, so I said to my parents, was it all right if I went? And they said, oh yeah. So I went and met some of the boys, and this was when I got to meet Fred.
So how old were you at that time?
I was 18.
18, okay. So, did you guys begin dating right away?
Well, if you could call it dating.
You could call it dating, okay.
Well, how can I put it? Our holiday was drawing to a close, and so of course he was invited to come on up because he was waiting to be repatriated, so he didn't have any duties or anything like that, and so he came up and stayed with us, and the next thing of course is we decided to get married. And that was we met in the August, and we were married on November the 3rd.
Wow, that's quite quick. So, was that common, would you say, during that time period for people to meet and then get married quite quickly?
Yeah.
And why would you think that was common, that people were getting married so quickly?
You're going to find this a little bit odd, but in those days, if a female was sort of not married by the time she was 21, she was going to be on the shelf. You know what I mean by that?
Yeah.
Okay. So it was nothing unusual for girls of 17 to get married.
Okay, so you think it was more to do with the time and the fact that how old you were, rather than the experience of war.
Yeah. It just... Oh, I guess there was just the excitement I mean, he sent to Canada for my rings.
Mm.
Yeah. Books.
So could you describe your wedding for me?
Yes, my aunt made my wedding dress. It was white. And we arranged to have the reception. My father knew a place that, well, it wasn't exactly a restaurant, but it had a large banquet room. In England, you had to be married before 3 o'clock in the afternoon. No weddings took place after that. You could not get married on a Sunday. We got married on the Saturday. 2:30 in the afternoon, and of course everybody, whole family, well, they were invited, and even Fred's aunt and uncle came because they lived up in London, and actually that's where we went to their house for our honeymoon.
So would you say that your wedding was similar to that of perhaps your mother's, or do you think that it was affected strongly by the fact that it was in the war and there was rations on?
Well, mother had, she made the wedding cake. I guess she, all the relatives, I think, probably donated certain amounts of fruit. No problem with eggs, because we had our own, you see. And as I say, my aunt made my wedding dress, and my sister and my best friend were bridesmaids, and my cousin was the little flower girl.
So did you know that a Canadian soldier had to request permission from his commanding officer before he could get married?
Yes. Okay. And the commanding officer came to the wedding.
Oh, really?
Yes.
And why did he have to ask permission?
I think that was the ruling of the Canadian government.
Okay. And why do you think that they made that ruling? It just kind of seems a little bit arbitrary.
No, I think it was a question of keeping track of finding out whether they were already married.
Okay. And do you remember if you had to wait a 2-month waiting period before you could get married?
No, for the simple fact we got a special permit. Okay. Had to go up to Westminster Abbey to get it.
Okay. And
see, the war had finished.
Okay, so it might have been a little bit different.
Yes.
And you were telling me earlier about the experience of your father.
Oh, yes. yeah, it was all very well having to get permission from the commanding officer, but my father also sent a telegram to Fred's father saying that he needed his permission so he could marry his daughter, and this was another safety as far as my dad was concerned, make sure that Fred wasn't already married.
That's very, very interesting. Very protective father.
But I'll tell you another little thing. On the other hand, my mother said I had added 10 years to her life. She didn't think any girl should get married until she was 27.
27? How old was your mother when she got married?
Well, she was in her 20s.
Oh, really?
Yes. Her, I think my mother was a very forward-thinking person, because in her eyes, it was time that the female was able to do things for herself and find a life for herself before she settled down. Mm-hmm. And I can remember when my youngest daughter got married. She was 27, and I said, you would have made her grandmother very happy.
So she, I guess she was a little bit before her time.
Yes, very much so.
Do you think that rubbed off on you at all?
I don't know whether that rubbed off on me, but I was one of those, I think because I'd had to do the shopping and things, that I took responsibility very, it didn't bother me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, okay. So once you were married, did you get a military dependence allowance?
Nope, no. Didn't know anything about that. But I was working.
Okay. What was your family's reaction to your future husband? Besides, of course, him not trusting, your father not trusting him that he wasn't married.
Well, as I say, with Mum, she said I put added 10 years to her life because, well, in her mind, should be getting, you know. But on the other hand, they both liked him.
Mm.
But then you see, during the war, it was nothing for my father to bring a serviceman home for a meal and maybe stay the night. So I don't think, well, the fact, as I say, Dad had made sure that permission, you know, that there was no problem. And so it, and they were used to, life was young. You got married when you were young.
And what about the fact that he was Canadian? Do you think that affected their view of him?
My father would have been much happier if I'd married an Australian, because he would have loved to have gone to Australia to live.
Yeah, I guess Canada isn't that enticing in comparison to Australia. Kind of cold here.
Yeah, no, he... Well, he wanted to go to Australia when he married my mother.
Oh, really?
Yes. No, I don't think... well, I suppose in a way they sort of, oh dear, all that distance. But then on the other hand, they knew darn well that Beryl had made up her mind. There wasn't much they could do about it.
Do you think there was any animosity within your community towards you marrying a Canadian?
No.
So do you think Canadians...
Canadians were welcome.
Okay.
No, if you'd said, mentioned another country, I could have said quite different.
Oh, okay. So Canadians were well received there, but perhaps our southern neighbors weren't as well received? Yeah. Okay. So after you got married, how long was it before the next time you saw your husband?
Not until I arrived in Vancouver, well, New Westminster, actually, on July the 4th, 1946.
So how many months would that have been that you were apart?
Well, we got married November the 5th in 45, and he came back to Canada. About 3 weeks after the wedding.
So yeah, 6 months or so, that's quite a long time to be apart. So what was this time period like?
Pardon?
What was this time period like, being apart from each other?
Well, we sent air letter forms back and forth, but I was working, and the first, I was supposed to have come out sooner, and I was supposed to have come on the Queen Elizabeth, but then I got the letter saying, sorry, that's been cancelled. There'd been a problem somewhere, and we weren't given any information like that, and so that was a bit disappointing. On the other hand, somebody told me, you were very lucky, you came on a much smaller boat than what we did, and it wasn't all that it was cracked up to be on the Elizabeth.
Okay, so you came in July 4th, 1946.
Well, actually, I landed in Halifax at the end of June.
Okay.
And arrived in at New Westminster on July the 4th.
Okay.
Of which I was promptly informed that that was a holiday down in the States. And I just, oh.
Okay. So how did you decide to move to Canada? Was it kind of inevitable that you were going to move to Canada
if you married a Canadian, yes. Although there was the odd ones that the Canadians decided they wanted to stay in England.
Hmm.
I know of one couple, they eventually came back and they lived out in Sydney, but he stayed in Oh, I think for about 3 years.
So it was more common for women to leave?
Oh, yes.
To come to Canada.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so tell me about how your family felt about you moving to Canada.
Well, my mother was very upset, which was perfectly understandable. And, but I think they knew that I knew how to look after myself.
And how did you feel about it?
Oh, well, there was no question. You read my story. Mm-hmm. I am going to go.
Yes, it was more of a sense of, I was just reading that it was more of a sense of adventure for you.
Yeah, it just, well, no, I was looking forward to it. That didn't mean that I didn't love my family.
No, of course not. So I'll just ask you now a few questions about your passage over to Canada. So do you remember who arranged your passage?
Yeah, the Canadian government.
Okay, and when were you notified of your departure?
Well, you had to go up to London and you were interviewed. And then they gave you your passport. Do you want to see my passport? I'll show it to you later.
Okay.
No, you had to go and they asked, wanted to know about your background and health and things like that.
Why do you think they interviewed you?
Well, you all had to. That was the only way that you were going to get your passport to come to Canada.
So they would ask you health-related questions just to make sure you were...
Well, they wanted to know if you... Well, one of the questions that was asked is TB was something that was... They had to be very careful about that.
Mm-hmm.
And I think also, was I pregnant?
Oh, okay, yeah.
Did I have any children? And that was, to my way of thinking, that was nothing abnormal about it. To me, it was just a normal process.
So
and then you received your information to report to London, and the date, and you sort of stayed in what they called a hostel. And then I knew that the next day that we would be boarding the train to go down to Southampton. And so my parents and my sister came to the railway station to wave goodbye.
Mm-hmm.
But that was only because we'd figured it out. It was, I mean, a lot of the girls that couldn't happen because they lived way up the northern part of England, and whereas we lived in the area that I was, it was able to come up to London and say goodbye.
So you just mentioned that they would ask you if you were pregnant.
Mm-hmm.
And I read that quite a few of the women on board either had one child or multiple children or
mm-hmm.
were pregnant
yeah.
along
uh-huh.
on the journey. Did you meet other women that were
oh,
pregnant?
Oh, heavens, yes. In fact, I had to switch my bunk for somebody that had children. And because it was more convenient for her.
So I guess it didn't prevent you from coming over if you were already pregnant?
I can't really answer that because I wasn't pregnant. So,
yeah.
They didn't proceed and say, oh, well, you know, if you're such and such so many months, then you'll have to wait until the child's born.
Mm-hmm.
Which I'm quite sure if that could be possible. I don't know.
Okay. So you were just talking about your bunks on board the ship. So what were the accommodations like?
Well, they would... like two-tiered bunks, and being a hospital ship, it was we were not overcrowded because half the ship had returning men that had to be looked after because most of them had been injured. You know, so the Red Cross had to look after them as well as us.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So, just speaking about that, you said half the people who were on board were actually soldiers, injured soldiers. And I've heard a few rumors.
You need to correct that. They weren't all soldiers.
Oh, okay.
A lot of them were soldiers. A lot were airmen.
Oh, okay.
My husband was in the Air Force.
So you said that they were on board the ship, though.
Mm-hmm.
And I've heard rumors about the interaction between war brides and soldiers on board these ships. Did you know of any interaction between anybody on board?
Not until when we docked at Halifax, and one of the girls was not allowed to get off. She was going to have to go back, because when the ship went back to England, she would... being returned. We were all warned, you do not flirt and patronize, you know. I guess she either didn't listen or I don't know.
And so that would have been...